We're going back in the book of Proverbs. we had left Proverbs, and we're still kind of left Proverbs a little bit, but we're back in Proverbs. So that's confusing, isn't it? I know. Proverbs chapter 11, we kind of left the passing on wisdom for a moment, and I wanted to spend a few weeks here in December and talk about this principle, the biblical principles of giving. And last week we looked at, we're grossly outnumbered, right? And so God's plan is for the believers to meet the needs of one another and to encourage one another and these kind of things. And so I want to look at here in the book of Proverbs. We're going to use a principle here to kind of look at some of these things. So Proverbs chapter 11, and in verse 23, it said, "The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath." So number one under there is this, it's a good desire. It's a good desire. So we're starting with this concept, this idea here in verse 23, the desire, okay? And that's going to be kind of the place where we kind of step off from is this thing of the desire of the righteous. So A, we can apply this biblical principle to giving, okay? This good desire. It begins with a good desire, okay, in this thing of giving. So number one, the desire of the righteous is good. The desire of the righteous is good. As a matter of fact, it says it's only good. How do you like that? You say, well, man, only good? That seems like a pretty high bar, doesn't it? It's a pretty high bar to think that it's only good. We're talking about, you know, here, good intentions, a good object, the desire of a good object, a good result, to do good, all of these kind of things. So number two, therefore, when thinking about giving a gift, it should be to do good, right? We understand that to do good. That's the giving the gift is when we're giving a gift to someone, it should be to do good. A, not grudgingly, right? Or forced. The blank there is forced or even required. And so, God loveth a cheerful giver, right? God does not love a grumpy giver. I don't know if he doesn't love him, but he still loves him. But what he wants from us is us to give out of a spirit of desire to do good, not because, you know, you ever had, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week too. Sometimes you feel like you have to give, so it's kind of more of a tax than it is a gift. You're like, yeah, you have to give this to, you know, you have to give it to all your employees. You got to give them a gift. All right, you know, you got to do this, and so it can be kind of this forced thing, or required. But instead, what we're talking about here is this, what we're thinking about is it ought to come from a good desire. So number two is this. Giving is having. Keeping is losing. Okay? So, it's a strange thought. Giving is, to give is to have, and to keep is to lose. That doesn't really make sense, does it? Look at verse 24. It says, "There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty." So we find here, number one, there's a bit of a paradox here, okay? It kind of is a little confusing. Number one, if you scatter, which that word here means scatter, it's meaning to disperse, somehow you increase. Now, we might say, well, yeah, obviously if you're sowing seed, you're going to reap more than you sow, this and that. But that's not really the concept here. It's not necessarily speaking of planting, but That principle is true there, you see. But so if you scatter, meaning disperse, somehow you increase. And so this is not, A, under that, this is not logically how wealth building works. Right? That's typically not how you build wealth. Let me scatter out my wealth so I can have more of it. But let me just say this, though, on that. And be very careful with this. I want to be very careful with this part. It doesn't necessarily mean you will get what you give. Okay? We're not talking about the prosperity gospel. Name it and claim it. Right? This isn't what we're talking about. Often what you get is far more valuable than what you give. Okay? What you get in return is far more valuable. Maybe not monetarily, but it has more value. To think about this, you know, the old saying goes, and heard somebody say, you know, you can't take it with you, right? But you can send it ahead. I mean, do we believe that? Do we believe we can really send it ahead? Would there be any scripture that talks about that? There is something about that. Okay, so it's not just an old wives' tale, is it? It's actually biblical that says we can actually, store it up. We can send it ahead. And by the way, it's going to be what we go into heaven when we're on the good works that we've done and things that we've done. So, and there's a sense of that. But the thing is, it's not going to be like a one-for-one or a two-for-one. Well, if I give this, I'm going to get back some stuff. No, it doesn't always work like that. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. But we don't give to get. Okay, we don't give to get because you're going to be very disappointed. Because we're talking about here, back to the beginning, was to have a desire. Right? A desire to do good. Now, I'm doing good. I was just hoping he'll get a little something out of it. No. Let's don't mix that up. So number two, though, on the contrary, there is one that withholds more than is meet. Okay, that's what he says there in verse 20. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Listen, A under that, withhold means keeping more than is good. Okay, how much is meet? How much is meat? Well, that's just what you need. Well, what do we need? You know what I mean? When we say, well, if we're talking about what we need, you can tell I don't live off just what I need. You know what I mean? Well, that was too much of an amen. But what I'm saying is, need is a really tough thing. We're talking about, if it's just what I need, all I need is some clothes and, a roof over my head and, a little bit of food, just enough. But, but we're talking about here, by the way, most everybody keeps more than that, right? So what we all ought to be is become destitute and just only keep them. No, that's not what he's saying here. We're getting back to this concept of the righteous desire good, only good. So it really means this: the one that is that withholds more than is meat, it means they're keeping more than is good. Now, that's a very arbitrary amount. Well, how much is good? Well, see, how much is good, or fair, or right? How much is that? Well, it's not an amount per se. Right, but rather it refers back to that desire to do good. So B, the one that holds more than his meat tends to poverty. That's what it says there. They tend to poverty. It seems to me that the idea here is that greedy people tend to be broke. Now there's different kind of greedy people. There's miserly, rich, wealthy, greedy people. Okay, And then there's people that are only thinking about trying to get and get. You know, we live in, I'm just going to say, this is our generation, folks. We live in a hoarder generation. Actually, you could make a whole TV series about hoarders. You think you could do that? Yeah, we've watched several seasons of it, okay? I don't know why. It's the grossest thing to watch, but you're compelled to watch another episode. What is wrong with me? You know, you see some of that stuff, and you're thinking, how can the human mind, you know, and they get it, and they're, I've got all these scraps of paper. Y'all have seen some of these things. You've seen people that they hoard stuff. You're like, it could have value one day. And then, you know, my wife would, we'd watch, my wife said, I got to go clean my house now. You know, it's like, it kind of will, there's this thing, but this is our society. You know, one of the biggest industries, or I don't know what to call it, industries, commercial prop, is storage units. You see that new U-Haul they're building out there? Massive. What is it, 2 or 3 stories? I mean, it's just massive. There's storage. By the way, it's not just here. It's all over the country. I mean, we're just up there in Pennsylvania. There's an old grocery store, a huge grocery store. They're leveling the whole thing, building all storage units. There's already several storage. We moved up there. We tried to find a storage unit to bring our stuff before we could get in our house. Couldn't find one. There was many of them, but they're all full. This is our society today. You're like, Pastor, you need to quit talking about me. No, listen. This is our society. We live in a society that's we gain and then we have maybe too much idle time to do it. And so, but here's what the scriptures tell me: holding more than is meet it tends to poverty. Not only poverty in assets, but poverty in spirit as well. The kind of poverty that's guarding my stuff. Have you seen people that, or maybe you are those people, I don't know, but you got this stuff and it's worth something to you, right? And you want to, and somebody wants to borrow and use it, you're like, no, I don't want it to get damaged. You'll let it sit there and rust in the corner. I don't mean you. I just mean in our society. You go to, you know how to find out how much we overvalue our worthless stuff? Go to a garage sale. Go to a garage sale. Somebody has like $5 off the brand new price. You're thinking, what is going on with this thing? I'm just saying this is kind of what we're talking about here. By the way, preacher, are you saying we're not supposed to have stuff? And this is what I said before. It's kind of an arbitrary amount. What is how much? We're talking about a spirit here, a biblical principle of this, of us, what we do with the things that God puts into our hand. Do we believe God is the one, is the giver? We're going to look at that a little bit more next week. But is this now, number B. Well, it's a letter, but you know what I mean. Capital B. Is it spiritual or relational? Relational is the word I want to put there. Verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So, number one, is this a spiritual principle? I want you to think through this question with me. Is this a spiritual principle of receiving from God, that's the blank there, receiving from God, as a result of our good desires. So is what the Proverbs is talking about. Is it saying that if you have good desires, if you have desire to do good, then God's going to bless you? Or number two, or is this a relational principle that comes as a result of receiving back from others that we're given to? Look at that again in verse 25. The second part of it says, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So, here's the question. Is it a spiritual principle that Proverbs is talking about? Or is it a relational principle? Where when you give out, when you water others, they're going to water you back, is what he's saying. I think the answer, I think probably, what? Both. I think probably both. Anyway, I don't know. I think it's both things. So we could see this here. Certainly God blesses all good gifts, right? All perfect gifts come from above. And so if there's anything good in my life, it's come from Him. But God will use people in those kind of ways. So three, the generous are often the first to be given to, both from the Lord and man. Have you known generous people? You know what I'm saying? You know generous people. They are generous with their time. They're generous with their resources. You know, their stuff. They're generous. That kind of person that's generous, don't you kind of sometimes wait for the opportunity to be able to water them back? You know, see what I'm saying? Those that are generous usually are the first ones that receive. And I think this is kind of a principle we see here. The greedy person should certainly not expect to receive from the Lord in their greed, right? So verse 23, it says, the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. I mean, listen, we shouldn't expect it. I mean, I think it's pretty fair. We shouldn't expect to be greedy with my stuff that God gave me, and then expect God to bless me with more that I can be more greedy with. So there is this preacher. I knew he's actually the director, the Global Independent Baptist Missions director. And I got to know him, you know, probably 20 years ago. I didn't know him and just came upon. And this guy, he drove, I think he had a Corvette. And his wife had this big old shiny black SUV. And I'm like, man, these people, he's a pastor in Texas. I'm like, man, they get paid well in Texas, I guess. I didn't know. I didn't know him. I just seen his stuff. And I'm like, wow. And they dress nice. And I thought, man, you know, maybe I had a pastor in Texas. No, I was thinking, I didn't know much about him. I thought, wow, they're living well. And so we're in his office one day. We're sitting there talking to him, and it was my wife and I, and we're talking to him just about things going on in our life. And he got a phone call. I said, let me get this phone call. And he gets this phone call, and he talks to somebody. He said, all right. He gets off the phone. He looks at me. He said, I guess the Lord wants me to give somebody a suit. I'm like, okay, that's weird. He said, I have people all the time giving me cars, giving me suits, giving me this. He said, I have given away so many cars. He said, I've got a closet full of suits. I don't need any more suits. But people always want to funnel through this. He said, he would tell me about some of the cars he'd given away, brand new cars. God had used him as that type of a, you know, and I mean, you know, evidently some of it sticks, but, you know, I thought, wow, you know, what a... It was just a testimony to me. And people that didn't know him, kind of like me, you know, you judge him a little bit. You know, you're like, yeah, this guy. But you realize, you know, this is the principle that God wants to funnel that through with this kind of way. And so we find that spiritual principle there. But the one that would keep it for themselves, I don't think there should be an expectation that they're going to receive more from the Lord in that kind of way to do that with it. So B, likewise, they should not expect to receive from others what they withheld from them, right? You know, and we find that they water. Look at verse 26. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall what? Curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. So this goes to a different level, but the principle is still seen here. It's the reference is one that holds back a commodity such as corn. I mean, this is something that people really actually need, right? And so they've held this back, and A, under that, maybe for the purpose of increasing the price, right? Sometimes people will do this, they'll hold it, and you know, and I've dealt with some farmers. I know some farmers, they'd say, man, it's a struggle. You try to store it, the price drops, and you want it to, you know, and there's this whole thing. And so sometimes, and then now you've got these corporations, they just have so much, and they'll hold it trying to get the price up. We're living in a day and age now that the government pays farmers to not grow anything on their field so we can raise the price. And so we find this concept here, though. Increasing the price for or holding it back for his own purpose, for his own profit. And so at his profit then becomes the loss of someone else's fair price. So number two, the principal is the greedy one keeping what they have for themselves alone. Okay, this is the principle that he's dealing with here in Proverbs chapter 11. That person will be cursed by the people. Yeah, I'm not talking about like a voodoo hex or something like that. I'm talking about this how they would speak of him, think of him, refer to him. Again, what we find here then is this relationship aspect of this thing. You know, if there's anything that's very clear that God desires, has always desired his people and he desires us today, is to have a proper testimony, right? A proper relationship, both with the brethren and with the world. So we find in this, though, there's a simple but obvious detesting of the one that will make others suffer so they can get gain. Okay, the people would detest them, and you know, you've seen that kind of thing. But the contrary is also true. Look at verse 26. Again, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. So we're again, A, under that, we're again talking, we're thinking about the desire for good. So B, in this case, it is to sell, maybe at less of a profit, right? Does the person selling it need to make a profit? If they're going to stay in business, they do, right? You don't give away, if you're trying to run a business. But there's a difference of maybe what is fair, not withholding more than is meet. I always try to think about with car deals. I hate buying cars. I just hate buying cars. It's because I never feel like anybody's honest. You know what I mean? I always buy used cars, you know, and you never know what that car, and are they, there's things they could put in the tank and they could clean it up it'll last you for, a few starts, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm always kind of a little skeptical of that, and you go, and sometimes I just have to say, Lord, you're going to have to just, and I'll go in there, and I've done this several times, I'm like, this is, and I'll look it up, I'll say, this is a fair price. A fair price isn't, I want to be at the bottom. Right? I mean, I do want to be at the bottom. But a fair price isn't they don't make any money and I get all the good deal. Right? But a fair, this kind of fair thing is seeking that which is not withholding more than is meat. So, here's the thought. Giving a gift is sometimes in the way of giving a good deal. This is, I have through the years, honestly, I hate that this is the case. Some of y'all know what I'm about to say. Some of the worst people to deal with are Christians in your business. You know, one of the very first house I bought, I had the house and my wife found a better house. And so we had this house, and I'm like, okay, we're gonna have Kayla's coming along, so we wanted another room. It's your fault. No, and so it was a much better house, and so we were getting in this house, and so I'm like, I'm selling whatever, and so there's a family in our church that wanted to rent a house. I'm like, this would be great. So I made a deal with them, kind of a little contract. I said, you can't sublease it. Here's the payments and all this fair deal, and okay. Well, they never paid rent. 2 months. I'm still paying a mortgage. Now I'm paying two mortgages. They never paid rent. And And I said, listen, you've got to make a choice. You either pay me rent or you got to leave. And they're like, well, you're just not very Christian. That's not the way a preacher's supposed to be. I thought, oh, man. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, several times, you know, you kind of deal with that and you get it. Isn't that kind of such a bad testimony that you'd say, you know, I want to stay out of business with other Christians. You know, it's some kind of, but sometimes what happens is we think because they're a Christian, they ought to give me like almost a free deal. Right? It ought to be just a gift, service, whatever the service is or whatever the product. Well, they ought to just, and they're thinking, well, they know I'm a Christian, so they're going to want to give me a good, and we're both, and so both people, their expectations are not met, right? Sometimes, though, the way that you give a gift is a good deal. Listen, number three is this. Gift giving should be about seeking good. It should be about seeking good. Look at verse 27 now. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. And he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. So, could we think of reasons why we should not give to others? Absolutely. Absolutely, there's reasons. People don't deserve it. They should work harder. That's just their bad luck. We could always have reasons for this kind of thing. But number two, but the point here is to diligently seek good. Or seeking good. Seeking opportunities to do good. Hey, by the way, that absolutely does not mean our own good. I am seeking good. Mine. No, seeking the good of others. I'm telling you, number three, that person, the one that's seeking the good of others, will procure favor. I mean, favor comes their way. B, the opposite mentioned here is to seek mischief, is what he talks about here. He says, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. Number one, the word mischief, it's a word that really means bad or evil. The word mischief is what it's talking about. It doesn't mean, oh, this is just a little mischief. No. It really, it's the word means to be bad or evil. A, the one that seeks it for others, that mischief for others, will find it for themselves. This is the principle of this here in that thing of seeking and desiring. So number four, gift giving, the ultimate simplicity. Okay? So A, it is giving something undeserved and unrequited simply for the good of the one receiving it. That's really what a gift is. A real gift, that's what it means. When we talk about the gift of God, it's really a one-sided benefit. Right? So number one, in doing so, we reap to ourselves goodness. In verse 17, it mentions that there. It says, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Listen, we reap goodness to ourselves when we're in this kind of way. So number two, there is no simpler principle in the scriptures than this. You reap what you sow. I could have spent a whole nother time over there and that in the New Testament. So I just, you reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow, and we got all this thing. But B, and I want to give this, during this season of giving, and we're in a season of giving, some give because it's end of the year. Some give for Christmas. Some give other things at this the season of giving. During the season of giving, let it be, as we find here in this book of wisdom. And number one is that diligently seeking the good of others. And then number two, that is undoubtedly why this season is so full of joy because it's full of giving. I think giving is a biblical principle. Really, we find it throughout the scriptures, giving one to another, meeting the needs. It goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, because that's why we say it goes without saying. I'm going to say this. Give what you can, not what you want. When I would preach missions conferences, and which I did a lot, I'd always say, when you're going to give to missions, don't give what you want. You know what I want? I want to give $1 million a week to missions. That's what I want to do. But the first check it would bounce, right? And so it's not about what we want to do. Like, well, I want to do anything. No, we got to give what we can. Listen, generosity is not giving beyond our means only for the purpose of gaining favor. Okay? Giving isn't, you know, sometimes people, that's why January is one of the most depressed seasons. We got to go from a season of joy to a season of depression and suicide. Breakups, all these kind of things. Like, what's happened? Well, because it's not about desiring good. It stops being about that. It actually becomes about desiring favor. And so it goes without saying, but I want to say it because I want to keep us in. Because I want us to think about this in this way as we kind of maybe wrap this up. Giving isn't about how much we can give. And by the way, giving isn't always about a monetary gift. Sometimes it's about just giving our time. It's about giving our service. I think about, and I want to close with this last thought. And I'm going to just, y'all know the story, but the widow's mite was more valuable to Jesus than all the riches of the wealthy. Because the widow's mite, not monetarily, it was pretty near worthless, comparatively. But what was there is she gave all of her living. Right? So that's what we should. No. So what I'm saying, I'm saying that to say this. Listen, what we're looking for, what we ought to be looking for is a biblical principle of a desire to do good. You know, sometimes, you know, there's a couple generations that went back there to the 30s, 20s and 30s that lived in the day of depression and they had nothing, right? They had nothing because there was nothing to be had. And so when the next generation came along, they said, I want to give my kids more than I had, right? And then the next generation said, I want to give my kids the opportunities I didn't have. And the next thing you know, we got a generation that has everything and has no work ethic. So desiring the good of others isn't just giving them everything they want, but it's desiring the good of others. And there's so many things here. That, of course, Proverbs is just riddled with that. Next week, we're going to finish up biblical principles of giving and talking about what God has given us. And I want to lead up to that and finish with that. Let's all stand together. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this time tonight. Lord, thankful for your word. And Lord, I do pray, Lord, help us that as we do endeavor in this season, it is a season of giving, and we've even prepared amongst us to be able to give. And Lord, I pray that as we do give, it would be focused on a desire for good, Lord, and not to be chasing all of the fads or all the commercialism or all the things out there. But we just, Lord, we'd seek to share with others what you've blessed us with. And Lord, we desire the good of others, Lord, to be a time. And so, Lord, it is such a great time of joy. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And Lord, you've told us that, and you've made that so clear to us. So help us to have that right spirit. And Lord, we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name.